reading to you from the third chapter of Revelation and with the 11th verse. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Good evening, my dearest and friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, friends, it is right in the middle of a hot summer. My stars, have you seen all the fires and all the floods and everything in the world? Don't you think maybe God's trying to get our attention? You think not? Well, he sure is. If you're unsaved tonight, boy, he's looking for you. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Listen, be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and let's begin reading in the 9th verse. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Label this tonight beyond our wildest dreams. And oh, dear friends, you know, as a rule, evangelists don't spend a lot of time preaching on heaven. We preach on the wrath of God and hell, and we try to win people to Christ. But tonight, let's talk about a subject that every Christian loves. Oh, my stars, every born-again believer loves to talk about heaven. Why? Because that's our final resting place. Man alive, can you imagine? The text is about the future of every Christian. Listen, this text inspires hope. This text increases expectation. And it seems too good to be true because this text is about heaven. This text stretches yours and my imagination. It describes a fantastic future of the faithful. You know, friends, there's one thing that I've been bothered lately about. I've talked to so many people who have been disenchanted with the church and with God's people and with the pastors and evangelists. Friends, all I'm trying to do, I'm not on this broadcast to make you mad. I'm on this broadcast to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus, have your sins forgiven, and your name written in the Lamb Book of Life. That's what I'm here for. Don't be mad at me because I tell you some of the things that's going to happen. Only authority, beloved, that I have is from the Word of God. Consider our dream future. Most of us have dreams. Sure we do. We dream about meeting a special person. And we even dream sometimes about financial success. And we dream about a beautiful family and a home. Now that's not wrong. That's not wrong to do that. But dear friends, we need to put God first in everything that we dream about. Some dreams come true and some fall short of expectations. Some succeed and others fail. Some gain true riches and others lose what counts. See, faith in Christ introduces us to new dreams. I recall, and I hate to bore you, but I recall when I was an alcoholic how unhappy I was, how miserable I was, because you see, friends, I knew that there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I knew that the Bible says that a drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of heaven unless he'd been born again. Well, I wasn't born again, and I knew it. And I knew I was headed for a devil's hell. And talk about worry. Yes, I did worry. When I would drive down the highway, and oh, how I thank God for not letting me kill somebody or hit someone. I'm so grateful. I guess that's why I feel the way I do. I see these alcoholics, and they give me their lip and what why they're drinking and what it does for them. All I'm telling you, that drinking will ruin every dream that you ever had. I recall one time I was laying in bed and I was thinking about heaven. In fact, I'd been drinking all day and I was thinking about heaven, thinking, oh, what a wonderful place it must be. My mom and my dad told me about heaven. I knew my mom was there. I knew my dad was there. I knew my brothers were there. Well, faith in Christ will introduce us to some great dreams. These goals couldn't be reached without him. I was talking to a chaplain yesterday on the phone, and he was telling me, and I know his work in prison. He did a marvelous work in prison. He has really led a lot of those inmates to Christ, and the ones that were saved in our meetings, he took them under his wing and was teaching them what God expects of a Christian. Friends, there's a lot of people, a lot of professing Christians, don't have the slopiest idea what God wants for their lives. That's true. They don't know. Well, I guess I was blessed by having a pastor that told me that God had a plan for my life. Every born-again believer, God has a plan for your life. It may to you be insignificant, but anything you do for the Lord is not insignificant. It's very important. You might be the only person that's able to reach this particular friend of yours to Christ. You might. I remember I was working when I was going to Bible college. I was working with a guy. I was a foreman of this roofing company, and I'd work in the daytime, go to school at night. I tried every way in the world to reach him. Believe me, I did. So one Saturday, I went over and I got my pastor. I said, Pastor, we got to go out and see this guy. I can't reach him for Christ. Did you know we weren't in that house a half an hour, and that big lug got down on his knees with my pastor and me and accepted Christ. See, he was the one that was to lead that man to Christ. It wasn't me. However, I planted a whole lot of seed, and I testified and I witnessed. And sometimes, friends, you don't realize how important that is when you testify of how you met Jesus. People are wanting to know what you got and how did you get it. Well, we have fellowship unknown apart from the family of God. We have an eternal hope the world doesn't understand. And listen, friends, our future goes beyond our wildest dream. It's futile trying to describe heaven. It says, I hath not seen. We've never seen anything like heaven. Take your dream trip around the world, and it will fall short of heaven. Retrieve all your best memories, and they won't measure up. Listen to this, nor ear heard. We've never heard a place as wonderful as heaven. Let me ask you, can you go back to the day when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, I thought I died and went to heaven. I cannot tell you how happy I was. What a joy to know that my sins had been forgiven. They'd been tossed into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Some of you have lived wicked lives, bad lives like I did, and you might think, well, I'm for sure God cannot forgive that sin. Beloved, there's not a sin in this world that God cannot forgive. You know, John 3:16, I quote it quite a bit because I just love it. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves you. It's hard to believe that God could love people like us, but he did. You know, my cousin, I was talking to her not so long, and she's telling me that she wasn't bad enough to have to be saved to get to heaven. I said, it's not how bad you are. The Bible said that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every blessed one of us have sinned. And the only way to get rid of sin is by accepting Christ, confessing, repenting, turning our back on the old way of life. That's the only way that you'll ever get into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. How many times you've heard me say, don't try to circumvent Jesus to get into the Father or get into heaven, because it won't happen. Jesus was our payment. He was the one that, even though he were sinless, he took your sins, he took my sins upon him, and he died for us. He sure did. They never took his life, beloved. He gave his life as a ransom. Now, on the cross, there was two other people on the cross beside him. One cried out and said, if you are the Son of God, you've saved others, save yourself. Why, Jesus could have caused 70,000 angels to come down and deliver him off the cross, but he did not. Now, the other man said, hey, man, paraphrasing, we're here because we deserved it. They were thieves, both of them. But he said, Lord, remember me when I comest into the heaven. And Jesus said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in heaven. No, he was never baptized. No, he never joined a local church. No, he never took the Lord's Supper. He took Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. Friend, have you done that? That's so important. You say, well, Cecil, you know, I'm not a heathen. I believe in God. Well, so does the devils believe and tremble. You've got to do more than believe in your head. You've got to transfer that from your head to your heart. It's only about 14 inches to your heart, and that's where you got to believe. You got to invite him into your heart. You know, the greatest artists cannot paint heaven, nor composers write its music. Now, speaking of music, you know, I have to admit, I don't like drums and guitars and things like that in churches. I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm just saying I don't like it, personally. I love an organ and a piano, and I love those songs. What a friend we have in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. There's power in the blood. But friends, they have taken those songs out of our churches now. They've removed our songbooks, just like they're removing God from our governments. We're trying to take God and we trust off in our money. Atheists are getting their way and nobody's challenged them. We just let them go. Well, it says, neither have entered into the hearts of man that what God has prepared for those who love him. Never even entered into our hearts. Friends, you know what? You just don't imagine what heaven is going to be like. All dreams fall short of what awaits in heaven. You know, imagination fails to grasp the glories of our home above. Our dream home has been prepared by God himself. He said, these things which God have prepared for them that love him. And listen, heaven has been prepared for those who trust in Jesus. And this is, oh, I love this. I didn't used to, but I sure do now. Before I was saved, I did not like this. I heard it preached at my mother's funeral, my dad's funeral, my sister's funeral. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. That is a bona fide, that is a from the Word of God. Nobody can deny that verse of Scripture. He said that's exactly what's going to happen. So we know that heaven is prepared for those who trust him. Now for those who don't, he's not preparing a place for you. How great our Father's love. You know, his love meets us where we are in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now you say, well, Cecil, I am a sinner, and I'm having an affair with another woman, or you're having an affair with another man, and you've robbed, you've stole, you've lied. You're in pretty bad shape. But did you know what? I got some great news for you. He will forgive you if you repent. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sin, not just a few. You know, friend, I've been a Christian for 52 years, and it's hard for me to tell God when I made a mistake. Sure it is. You betcha I don't like to tell God I made a mistake, but I do, and then I turn my back on it, and he said he'd forgive us. Well, here's another thing. His love guarantees. You know what a guarantee is? If I guarantee you that I'm going to fix your car, and if anything goes wrong, bring it back and I'll refix it, that's what a guarantee is. His love guarantees eternal life. 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. When? Right there, when you trust him. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Did you hear what I said? That you may know. Don't say, I hope I'm going to heaven. I plan on going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm a preacher. No. Not because I'm good, but because one day, 52 years ago, I fell on my knees, and I told him I was sorry for my sins, and I invited him into my heart. Then I was born again. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You read the third chapter of the Gospel of John, and you ask the Lord what that means. He'll reveal it to you. See, the Holy Spirit grants a glimpse of glory in verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. He opens the Bible, letting us in on the dream. Listen, friends, I want to ask you, won't you open your heart and let the Savior in? Oh, listen. He's standing right now with outstretched arms. Yes, he is. Saying, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You said, Cecil, my life is so screwed up. I'm so messed up. That's all right. That's all right. If you confess it, turn from it, open your heart, he'll save you, and he'll give you new life. Here's a prayer that will change your life, but oh, beloved, please don't pray it if you don't mean it, because it could get you in trouble. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. And now, tonight, I'm opening my heart and I'm asking you to come in and be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you've prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church, beloved. I'm only concerned where you go to heaven. A lot of people say, well, if we all believe the way you believe. No, if you all believe the way the Bible believes. You know, one of the sad things in the world, we have homosexual and lesbian back here prayed in the streets, saying they're happy that they're the way they are. God said they're not going to go to heaven. I don't care if you like it or not. He said you won't go to heaven until you've been born again. After you're born again, he'll deliver you, just like he delivered me from alcoholism. I'm standing by my phone, 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call, call Click. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I do pray that this helped you today. And if you're not saved, I pray you'll come to Christ. Oh, Christian friend of mine, don't be discouraged. Oh, I know we're living in troubled times, and all you got to do is read the newspaper, see about this war, and see what's going back between the Democrats and the Republicans, and fighting and fussing. Instead of trying to solve the problem, they're just confusing. No wonder America is all messed up. World War II, America was together. We were together. The country is split right down the middle. And a country that's divided shall fall, according to the Bible. Well, listen, friends, pray for my health, and pray for my wife, and pray for my quartet. Pray that we'll win many souls to Christ next week as we go to prison. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.